AI.
And support for WNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus. For those having foot, leg, knee, and back pain, Happy Feet Plus offers footwear solutions fashioned to make your feet happy. It is a full-service shoe store featuring a complimentary foot scan analysis at their 10 Bay Area locations. And are you selling an unwanted vehicle? That's a hassle. But donating to WMNF is easy. Simply provide a clean title and we'll take care of the pickup and donation receipt. To get started, call 1-888-966-3885 or go to WMNF.org.
Thanks, Adam. And good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM, community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This is a forum for the discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. They are your employees, after all. My name is John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time, joined in the session this afternoon by Mr. Adam Bax. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Welcome aboard. And we, in this conversation, welcome all viewpoints. We require civility because what we are practicing is radio as the back fence of the nation, which is to say it's a place for reasonable people to hash out the issues of the day and to walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. And you can join the conversation, since you are the guest on the program, at 813-239-9663. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. Be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook. If you like and follow the page, you can see all the links to the material we're discussing on that particular day and join the discussion there. So, the question, is it time for the wall? This is a first couple of paragraphs from an article published probably 13 or 14 hours ago now by Al Jazeera. Quote, the United States faces a major humanitarian crisis with its southwestern border at a security breaking point as tens of thousands of mostly Central Americans increasingly try to enter the country. More than 76,000 migrants crossed the border without authorization last month, nearly double the number from the same period in 2018, officials said. The figures suggest harsher regulations and detention policies implemented by the American government, including separating families and incarcerating migrant children, are failing to deter mass migration into the U.S. That's the end of that quote from Al Jazeera. So, is it possible, is it even possible to build a wall along the entirety of the U.S.-Mexico border? And if it isn't possible to build a wall all the way along the border, what is it that would keep people from locating the gaps and crossing there? We got a lot of questions. How would you intervene? Do we need to use the available space in federal prisons across the nation to house people while we ramp up the system to process asylum claims? Here's a couple of paragraphs from a report from KSAT in San Antonio. It's an ABC affiliate. Describes the backlog already waiting for adjudication. The links to both of to all of this, and also a link to a New York Times article that is that quotes similar figures to the Al Jazeera paragraph that I read, all on the Facebook page. From KSAT, hundreds of thousands of immigration cases across the country are pending in the federal courts. Today, 829,608 cases are stuck in the system, according to TRAC, which is a research center at Syracuse University. In Texas alone, there are 123,024 cases, and 27,438 of them are in San Antonio. So, here's a question. How do we address this? Can we train and put in place the judicial system necessary to hear all these cases? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played.
Songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made. Those were the days.
And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
All right, we have been debating the notion of putting a wall along the U.S. border with Mexico now, ever since it came up basically as a mnemonic device during the campaign for the Republican candidate to remember to talk about immigration. And now we find that we have reporting of 76,000 people crossing the U.S.-Mexico border unauthorized, I believe was the word. Yes, without authorization, to be precise. Just last month. So here, is it time to actually start thinking about this, or how else do we address this? There is a profoundly deep pool of imagination and creativity out there in this community, and it would. I was wondering, you know, what do you see? What do you hear? What do you think? How do we address 76,000 people in a month coming across the border without authorization? And the fact that there are 829,000 cases currently, and KSAT in San Antonio characterizes it as stuck in the system. Can we train and put in place the judicial system necessary to clear those cases? What would it take, in your estimation, to handle the fact that there is a substantial... And would you agree with the Trump administration that this constitutes an invasion, 76,000 migrants crossing the border without authorization? 813-239-9663. It will get you in contact with Mr. Ed Green this afternoon. Mr. Green will respond to answer your call and get you ready to step up in here and have your say on this. We have been talking about it for a long, long time. Let's talk about it some more. And we're going to go and start with Ted, who is no doubt calling from the bunker down in Ellenton. How you doing?
No, we're good. Actually, I'm up out of the bunker. I was in the bunker just checking on the product.
Yeah.
it's coming along fine.
Good. Them lights are wonderful, aren't they?
They are. They are. And I got them so that it doesn't set off any bells and whistles.
That's good. Listen, what do you think about this, Ted?
I gave them the numbers out of the Trump administration. John, they're cooking the books on that baby.
Well, here's the, you know, ordinarily I would fall right into line with such a comment, and yeah, the figures that they're citing come from a research institute in Syracuse.
It snows a lot in Syracuse, John.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. This is according to Track, a research center that's where the figure for the 829,000 cases stuck in the system came from. So,
I think that 76,000. Unauthorized?
Yeah, that's what they're reporting. Al Jazeera and the New York Times, by the way, both are both reporting the same figure. 76,000 migrants crossed the border without authorization last month.
Show me 76,000 people crossed the border who were unauthorized. I could say, they added in everybody that comes across the border with a proper visa and do it 5 days a week for work.
Yeah, I don't. You know, you have made a good point, and I am not clear exactly where the 76,000 figure came from. And when I read it in Al Jazeera, I went, yeah, okay. But then the New York Times is not exactly administration friendly for the most part. So
no.
if these figures came from the administration, I'm pretty sure the New York Times would be pretty eager to say something about that.
I think somebody might have just jumped the gun on this one.
It's a possibility. That's how come. But let's, for the discussion today, what we're going to do is we are going to take that figure as accurate. So act as though there actually were 76,000 people who crossed the border without authorization last month. All right, and we're going to see. You know what does this community say about how to handle that? Okay.
What is it, 129,000 cases?
There are 123,000 immigration cases pending in Texas.
Oh, God.
And almost 27,500 of them are just in San Antonio. And that's according to a local ABC TV affiliate.
Okay. All right. But we don't need any more administrative judges.
Okay. It sounds to me like we might.
A little bit.
Okay.
Little bit. All right, John. I gotta go. I gotta buckle up for tomorrow.
Yeah. Be sure and get your five-way restraints all lubed up and stretched out, because we may need them for this weekend.
Oh boy. Oh baby, as they used to say. All right,
Ted, thanks for kicking us off again today. We'll talk again.
All right.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663. We are going to take as accurate this 76,000 migrants figure across the border. Now, if you want to, like I said, you can go to the Facebook page, the Executive Session Facebook page. The actual links to these articles in Al Jazeera and the New York Times are there. And there are links embedded in those articles that may shed more light on where these figures came from. It seemed to me, just in reading them, though, that this is not stuff that came out of the White House, that this was stuff that came out of other places in the administration that I considered were probably a little less influenced by the tendencies of the White House itself and the president himself. So, 813-239-9663. We're going to just go and walk right on through here. DeAndre in Riverview, good afternoon. You're in Executive Session and you have the floor.
Hey, good afternoon. So, I suggest we go ahead and let the UN get in on that action. I don't know if they come to this side of the hemisphere, but I think we ought to do that and then let prior administrations, including this one, just go ahead and be tried for some of this stuff. Because when we come down to it, a lot of those migrants are here because of injustices that were brought on by the U.S. It might not have been this administration, not completely.
Yeah, we've been messing around down there for over a century, haven't we?
Exactly. The last 40 years was some of the nastiest of it, and it disturbs me the most. We even have someone who's considered the architect of that travesty, that tragedy down there. I think is Elliot Abrams.
Yep.
He's dealing with Venezuela right now.
Yeah, I thought it was just stunningly ironic that Elliot Abrams would have been selected to be the U.S. envoy to Venezuela.
And then William Barr. you know, he's got him. He got him parked in, through Bush.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the problem is, you know, everybody's tied up with this Jussie Smollett story and some of all this other kind of stuff that, you know, just doesn't really meet the, you know, national outrage, you know, criteria to me, but it still gets there. And that's the problem, but I won't go there. I just wanted to go ahead and leave that. Just say, hey, might as well own up to our failures.
So your suggestion is that we actually engage the United Nations in trying to assist us with this?
I would, yes.
Yeah. Yes. What can you do? Do you have a notion for what that might look like?
Well, I would imagine we go ahead and carter off some of that country, go ahead and bring some forces in, some aid.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and try and, you know, receive some of those who are there, some who are here, not all, and then also deal with some of the allegations of the gangs and the criminal policing.
Yeah.
The poor policing that goes on, terrible policing that goes on down there.
Yeah.
Deal with that, put those guys away, give them, you know, some sort of reform that they need, you know, some prison, some time. And let, you know, life go ahead and try and flourish down there with some new laws and arrangements down there. That's what I say. It's like expensive, I know. It's expensive.
Yeah.
But we all benefit from it. I mean, Panama is right down the water from them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know how much activity happens over there in Belize and Costa Rica? You know how much money flows back and forth over there? So this is a world effort, I think, that's necessary in that area for sure.
Well, that's interesting. That's very interesting, DeAndre, because I haven't heard anybody say that we might be able to engage the United Nations as to provide us some assistance. The United Nations has a substantial refugee program, and they actually might be able to either directly assist or train assistance to help wade through this incredible backlog of cases that are stuck in the system, because some of these people are authentically fleeing violence and oppression.
Absolutely.
And some of them, and I don't doubt that some of them are opportunists who want to traffic in humans. I don't doubt that at all. And our ability to distinguish among them with our present system seems limited.
Inadequate.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. All right, well, listen, that's a new idea. Let's hear from other folks in the community, DeAndre. Thanks for bringing it in.
Absolutely, no problem.
Peace. Appreciate it. 813-239-9663. We'll get your very self into this very conversation. We opened up this afternoon with the with an Al Jazeera article that that detailed the figure that more than 76,000 migrants crossed the border without authorization, crossed the border between the U.S. and Mexico without authorization last month, and that there are well over 750,000 cases stuck in the immigration system, according to a research center in Syracuse. So we were wondering, you know, is it time to build the wall? And if we're dealing with 76,000 migrants a month now, is a wall that will take 10 years to build likely to be an effective intervention? 813-239-9663. And let's see here. We are going to go talk to George in St. Pete. Good afternoon, George. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Oh, well, thank you. I thought that was interesting what the previous caller said about the UN, where we're talking about a refugee situation.
Mm-hmm.
That might well be an idea. But I think it's interesting we're talking about the wall at all. I think the administration is doing a very effective job in getting people like you and I to discuss the wall and make that the crux of the argument.
Yeah, well, keep in mind that this is just for this afternoon.
Sure. No, I understand, and you started with the premise, so let's talk about the premise.
Yeah.
First of all, if you've spent any time along the southern border, you know that it is physically impossible to build a wall along the entire southern border. It runs over the backs of mountain ranges.
Yeah.
There's cliffs. It's just physically not.
Yeah, there's also if the pictures don't lie, there's also this river. And we would have to build. We would either have to give Mexico the river, take the river from Mexico, or build the wall down the middle of the river.
Right, and if you go there right now, there's a nice big sign that says in English and Spanish, "Please don't cross the border; it's illegal," and no one around to enforce it.
Yeah.
But the bigger,
somebody would have walked up from Guatemala with their kids because they were fleeing violence and oppression, and they get to the U.S. border and see a sign that says it's illegal to cross, and they go, "Oh, okay," and turn around and walk back.
Right, exactly. But let's face it. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people are fleeing violence and oppression, and that there's terrible things going on down there. But a lot of this is a response to, oh, the U.S. is going to make it a lot harder to get in. We better go now.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is that what no one is discussing on the administration level or in the media, the mainstream media that I can see, is why are people coming here?
Yeah.
Why are our major corporations allowed to hire people under the table who are not citizens and pay them sub-minimum wage and not pay into OSHA and all that stuff? If we cut that off, the people would stop coming,
and
it would be a moot point.
And then the Immigration and Customs Enforcement goes into the plants and arrests the people who are working there.
Yeah.
And leaves the guys who hired them in the office.
No, I think what they need to do is they need to go in and fine. Every time they find a violation, you fine the hell out of the company that hired them until it becomes more expensive to hire them than to hire native-born people. Look at all the people who we give assistance to in this country who really could use jobs. And you can argue their jobs people won't do. Well, that's not true. We're talking about construction jobs. We're talking about high-paying jobs with semi-skill. And we are choosing to hire people who are not our countrymen over people who live here. And that is a conscious decision that's being made, and that's why people are coming here. If you stop that, the people stop coming here. It's real basic. So to me, let's not spend $5 billion on a wall. Let's spend money enforcing our laws.
Well, I'll tell you what, George. The piece of that wall that you could build for $5 billion is not going to keep out very many people, because the figure that, you know, that what it would cost. And you've described the terrain and the difficulty. What it would cost to build a wall all the way across there, I don't even know if $5 billion is a suitable down payment on it.
Right. No, it's a smidgen. And who's going to build it? Oh, gee, the people that we're trying to keep out. As far as I'm concerned, we're not even talking about the right issue. The truth of the matter is that if we continue to have an economy that relies on those people, then we are going to continue to have those people here. And I noticed that nobody in the higher ups are talking about this, because a certain president had his hotels built by people from a lot of the people who were involved in the construction of Trump Tower were not American citizens,
yeah.
Not legally here. A lot of the people who work in his hotels are not American citizens, not legally here. So we're not going to address that part, and that's why these people are coming.
Here is a brief personal experience. I drove concrete mixers for a while, and I was out on the road in doing construction when we were building houses as fast as we could possibly build them. And what I can tell you is that from dawn to dusk, If you pulled up on a construction site and you didn't speak Spanish, you pretty much didn't understand what was going on out there.
Right.
Now that doesn't mean that those people are illegal, but I'm telling you that those crews that were out there were Hispanics from various places.
Yeah, we just had a big renovation at my condominium, and it was the same way. And they're perfectly nice people, and they did a good job. I have no issue with the people. I have an issue with the system that says, come here and do our work, but you can't be a citizen, and we're not going to give you any sort of a visa or anything that makes it possible for you to easily come and go and do this work.
And at our pleasure, if we end
up being illegal, and then we can kick you out when we're done with you.
Exactly. I was just going to say, at our pleasure, we can kick you out if we feel like it.
Exactly.
All right, George, listen, I appreciate this part of the conversation. Very interesting. Thank you very much. We will talk again, sir. All right, 813-239-9663 will get you into this very conversation. We are going to take a very short break for a little bit of information on your behalf, and we will be right back.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students. As a top 10 public university, online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. Students can apply by May 6th for fall. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect.
Ike Riley, star of Tropical Heatwave and longtime WMNF favorite, is returning to Tampa and the Attic in Ybor City on March 28th. She haunts my hideout. Riley's witty, edgy songwriting and skills as a comic rock on tour will shine when experienced in a solo session in the intimate listening room setting at the Attic in Ybor City.
Tell me, mama, tell me if I got any money. I really gotta know what happened to your soul.
You don't want to miss the show opener at 8 p.m., Siobhan Philidor.
It's time to let go, find my way, live life free today.
That's Ike Riley at the Attic in Ybor City, Thursday night, March 28th. Capacity is limited, so get your tickets now at the event page at WMNF.org.
WMNF is a listener-supported community radio station that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, and environmental justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates and promotes the cultural, creative, and political vitality of the local community. We're your community-conscious radio station, WMNF, Tampa.
All right, we're going to jump back into the conversation. We have been talking about the southern border, a topic that you may have heard mentioned once or twice by this administration, and that, you know, has been just a subject of fierce debate here lately, where the Congress has told the president, no, we are not going to send you any money for your wall. And the president has said, this is a national emergency. I will take money from other places. So now we find Al Jazeera and the New York Times reporting that 76,000 people came over the border without authorization last month, and wondered if that seemed to you to be a, you know, like, was it time to build the wall? John in Lutz, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yes, good afternoon, John. Say, I think before the government goes and spends $5 billion of our hard-earned taxpayer dollars, there needs to be some serious, serious research as to the effectiveness of the border wall if they do build an extension to it. You know, there needs to be a discussion about if we do this, then this.
Yeah.
You know, will it be effective? And or after they go to all this effort to build this wall, will they simply not just swim around the wall at the Pacific Beach border?
Yeah, there is that Gulf of Mexico thing and that Pacific Ocean thing, and I don't know how you wall that off.
And as you were discussing earlier, just coming across the river. I mean, you know, wouldn't that, they need to really, really justify the need and whether it would be effective, because otherwise $5 billion could be much better spent on universal health care or universal education or something that's much more effective.
Yeah. There's also a substantial backlog of historical information about the effectiveness of fixed defenses like walls. You can consult the Chinese who built one you can see from space that didn't work. And and the French built one, and that wasn't exactly successful. And history that I know of goes all the way back to the Sumerians. And that is a basic problem. There's a basic problem with fixed defenses in as much as they aren't adaptable. And once you find a weakness in them of some kind, you exploit that. Like, say, for example, the guys that, and this is a different case, but the guys that broke El Chapo out of his prison, they tunneled 9/10 of a mile. And their navigation was so accurate that they came up in the shower of his cell.
Right. So exactly. I know, as you've said many times before, either a wall, there's so many ways to defeat it. Either you tunnel over it, or you build the 31-foot ladder over the 30-foot high wall, or I've even seen, you know, on Facebook where they talk about using, if it's, you know, you're worried about illegal drugs coming in, they've got air cannons mounted in the backs of pickup trucks, and they launch it right over the wall.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it would be, I think that having to use the industrial strength version of a T-shirt cannon to export your drugs is probably going to put a crimp in your product flow. But I hear you. I think most of that stuff comes in there. What was the last one? This huge fentanyl bust a month or so ago that came in buried under a load of cucumbers and went right through one of the normal entry points.
Right, exactly. A lot of it comes through the normal entry points, and they need to say, you know, where I'd like to see some backing up with some more facts. These 76,000. Where exactly did they come across the border, and would they be in the place where they're even discussing building an extension to the border wall?
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, what we're talking about now, John, we're talking about that from sea to shining sea thing. See, so you're gonna get out there on the Gulf beaches in southern Texas. And there's going to be a wall, and if you walk along that wall, you're going to end up at the Pacific Ocean.
Right.
See, that's what they're talking about. Now, we have already discussed a few of the possible problems with such a thing, being mountains and rivers and such things as that. It seems like, I got to say that if 76,000 people a month are coming across that border, it looks to me like we got to do something. There has to be some kind of intervention.
Right, but wouldn't that $5 billion, if it's deemed that it is necessary to try to curb that immigration, could it not be better put to use with drones and other security rather than a wall that's just going to be defeated?
Well, see, that's what I wonder. We have been using drones, unmanned aerial vehicles, around the world for an awful long time, and we have some very, very sophisticated machinery that can stay in the air for hours and hours and hours and hours and has very, very sensitive optical and even infrared sensor gear on it. And it seems to me that our aerospace industry, our aerospace and defense industry, could stand the huge burst of business that they would get if we designed a multi-technical wall, you know, drones, sensors, And you know that we build border patrol stations along the border such that if something is spotted, they can get there in a certain number of minutes.
Exactly, with night vision and everything. So that's where money would be much better used than on a permanent wall of some sort.
I think so. I think that once you have been spotted from the air in the middle of the desert, you're not going to get away. I mean, you know, there's like, you're not going to run away from that. That's it. They're just going to hang around with you. And if they need to chase you for a couple of miles, that's fine. They'll just send another drone to orbit in the spot where you were last.
Right.
So, you know, I was, that's something that I've been thinking about for a while. And I know that the idea has been discussed there's a certain number of people that ridicule. I think that's a ridiculous idea. I think you should ask the people in Yemen and Somalia how effective drones are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they have some real firsthand experience with being spotted and being on the end of operations conducted therefrom.
Right. Much more better use of money.
I think so. Listen, John, thanks a lot. I'm glad that we got to talk today. Let's talk again.
All right. Viva Rob.
813-239-9663. Get you into this conversation, and we're going to talk to Charles in Tampa. Charles, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor. Oh, good. You got the staticky line. Are you there? Well, I'll tell you what, that is the quietest reply I've had in a long, long time. All right, we're going to ask again. Charles, are you there? All right, we're going to break it off. Charles, if you find your phone and you want to, you can call us back, okay, at 813-239-9663. Ayana, good afternoon. Long time no hear. Good to hear from you. What you got?
Hey there, John. Good to hear you on the radio as always. Nice to talk to you. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, you know, at least up to now.
Oh, well, that's good. Okay. Well, the whole topic of the wall and all of that is just a big distraction to keep people fighting and fussing over something while he gets to prolong the inevitable of the case that's against him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically what's going on. Wall, okay, just for the sake of the topic of the conversation, the wall, in the event if they ever did get to put up a whole wall, walls go up to fall down. Walls can't even hold back water.
Yeah.
And how do you expect to hold back people? If all of the people decided to rush the wall at one time, it would fall down. And in the event the wall was up, what would you do about flooding? It's going to keep the flood in the country.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have heard a lot of people who have pointed out that walls work, that both sides of a wall work.
Exactly.
And that if you might be able to keep people out, but you can also keep people in.
Exactly.
And as far as the environmental effects are concerned, you know, I don't know. They would have to deal with streams that cross the border. They would have to deal with all that. And there's already and I know this sounds like such a minor issue, but there is there's a butterfly sanctuary down there.
Yes, sir.
All right.
That's all they're doing is destroying our ecosystem.
Yeah, and I can tell you that I don't know of anybody that needs a better resting spot any more than those butterflies in there.
Exactly.
You know. So I don't know what all that's about, but and of course you got to wonder if there are 76,000 people crossing that border a month. Is a butterfly sanctuary an appropriate price to pay to see if we can interrupt that flow, assuming that the wall will do that?
Okay, as like I said, if they tell how many people have come across a border, how they got across, whatever, if those statistics are accurate, then we can go with those statistics. However, they need to compare it to the statistics of what I've always said, the wall is to keep people in. How many people have left the country?
I don't know. I don't know, but I know that most of...
I'm telling you that. That's what the rush is about.
Yeah.
People are leaving, moving to Canada, to Europe, to Africa, to everywhere.
Well, see, that's it. They have been telling us for a while that the net flow across the southern border is pretty close to reaching zero, and that you know there are as many people leaving as there are coming in. So, and this figure is about migrants who cross the border without authorization. Now, if 75,000 migrants left the country, and
come
you know.
On now.
Huh?
And 75 came. That's balanced.
Yeah. Then the main hang up that I see is that even if the net crossings are close to zero, you still have there's still 75,000 or 76,000 people in the country that we have to deal with. We have to adjudicate their cases. They have to have credible fear hearings. They have to be evaluated for their status. So even if 76,000 people left and the net count for the month was zero, we still have got to deal with the 76,000 people that came in. See what I mean?
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying it makes no sense, you know, from every standpoint. First of all, you know, how the country started. We don't even have to go back there. But all this stuff is just ridiculous. It makes absolutely no sense. People are leaving the country faster than people are coming in.
Okay.
And they don't want to talk about that. That is imperative. I wish your researcher would do some research and give you exact figures so you can go by his figures and by his website. But there are people, I mean, I talk to people and hear people all the time. People have moved to Mexico because it's more economic for them to live in Mexico and cross the border to come to work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you know, they're doing stuff. People go to Mexico to get medication because it's cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw a news article about that where folks are actually leaving the country to go get medication in Mexico because it's affordable there, more affordable there than it is here.
Exactly. Canada and Mexico, both of them, and people are actually moving there. Once they realize, well, hey, why do I need to go across? I can just move here and come back across when I'm ready.
Yep. All right, Ayanna, listen, it's been good to hear from you, good to talk with you, and I hope we get to talk again soon.
All right, you have a beautiful day. Thank you again for taking my call.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663 will get you into this conversation. We have got a little announcement about something that you might want to do.
Hi, this is Angela B. We're back again. The Caribbean Cruise Music Festival will take place at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March the 23rd. Live bands include Impulse, Renegade, Jafarai, Trinity 7, Sucker Boys, Spy vs. Spy, Terry Edwards and the Latin Jazz Band. For more information, go online to WMNF.org. The doors open at 4 p.m. See you there.
All right, we are back down the backstretch here and on the way to the lightning round. Remind you that you are listening to Executive Session here on WMNF. In the studio with us this afternoon is Adam Baxt, who is very, very quietly but very, very busily keeping up with this conversation. And that when you dial 813-239-9663, you will reach Eddie G, the phone guru, and he is going to take your name and where you're calling from and maybe even a word or two about what it is that you have to say and get you ready to step in here and take the floor in Executive Session on a nice, sunny, kind of cool Wednesday afternoon. And we're going to go back here and talk to David on the road in Clearwater. Keep your head on a swivel, boss, and pick that big foot up. What you got?
Hey.
Hey.
I'm watching two left-handed golfers on the driving range up at the Clearwater Air Park.
Okay.
think it's probably a million years since I thought two left-handed golfers doing that. Anyway, using the presidential emergency power to handle a matter about domestic immigration is an abuse of that power, even though he has the right to use it, but it's an abuse of the power to use it for that. And I don't think very many people would disagree.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that we're going to have to deal with is the fact that the presidency has certain prerogatives that the individual in the office can use, but how they're used still, even though it's a legal prerogative, might constitute an abuse of power. Like, for instance, he does have the power to determine who gets security clearances, but who he gives them to may be an abuse of power.
It's an executive branch function to give top secret clearances.
The president is basically considered the ultimate classifying authority in the government, and if the government he actually can grant security clearances at his whim, so to speak, as he wishes.
Well, then what's the big deal about him going over and talking to his chief of staff and saying, give whatever his name was a security clearance?
That's a good question, and it makes you wonder how come he wouldn't just say, yeah, I did that, it's within my purview, and that's who I wanted to have cleared, so they are.
I don't understand some of the reaction, because I hear these things. I'm basically a left-winger. I'm a liberal. But I hear all these things the right wing is saying about the press, the fact that they seem to make mountains out of molehills. I didn't think it was such a molehill, because the guy had been in regular communication with the Russians, and I could understand why they would want him to tell them about that before they gave him a top-secret clearance. But I didn't know the president could override all that, and if he can, he should.
Well,
and that's it.
See, he has... That's one of those things where he has the prerogative. He has the power, and it still may be an abuse of power to do it. Like, he has the power to pardon somebody for a federal crime.
Right.
That's within his power. It's perfectly legal. And if he does it to, say, interfere with an investigation, that's an abuse of power.
That's different. No, that's it's not abuse of power. It's interfering with a federal investigation.
Yeah, but he's
the Justice Department, and if you do that, then you're guilty of a crime.
Yeah, but you can saying is that you can use your legal authority to do something that is illegal. It's kind of weird, but it's true.
I don't think it's illegal if you have the power and it's granted under the federal. As I understand the Constitution and the Declaration of the Constitution, it was put in there to limit government's power.
Mm.
So unless it's granted to a particular, as a difference from the state, you don't have that power.
Yeah,
so I assume that there's some statute saying he has that power.
Well, I'm not. I am certainly not intimately familiar with U.S. code, so I don't know that. But I do know that there are things that the president has the ability to do, and that are perfectly legal for him to do, unless he does them for illegal purposes. At which case, that's an abuse of power. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Sure enough, we'll talk again, David, and keep your eye on them left-handers out there.
Yeah, I will.
All right. 813-239-9663 as we step across the threshold into the lightning round here. About to wrap up the executive session for the day, and we're going to go and talk to Bob in Lutz. Good afternoon, Bob.
Hey, John. I love your show as always, sir.
Well, it's good to hear from you. What you got?
Hey, the young lady that called a few minutes ago kind of stole my thunder a little bit. Just want to reiterate that the whole wall thing is nothing but a massive distraction. It's a shiny object to turn our eyes away from the uncomfortable facts that Donald Trump doesn't want you thinking about, which is that he is currently unindicted co-conspirator. He will be arrested the second he leaves office.
You think?
Under, yeah, 17 different investigations. His campaign manager, Paul Manafort, is facing life in jail. His longtime political consultant, Roger Stone, is going to be probably going to jail for a long time as well. And if anybody wants to find out where the idea for the wall came from, you just go to your Google machine. You put in Forbes magazine, not exactly a left-wing operation, Forbes.
Yeah.
And where the idea for Donald Trump's wall came from, and they explain through their reporting that it was Roger Stone and Sam Nunberg who came up with the concept. And so, you know, it's a winner for Trump because every minute you're talking about the wall, you're not talking about the fact that why was his campaign manager sending polling data to Konstantin Kalemnik, who is associated with Vladimir Putin and the Russian intelligence agency.
Oh, the many questions we have to answer, huh?
Yeah, and you know what? I mean, they're reporting now that, and, you know, it's obvious this is going to happen. North Korea was never going to give up their nuclear bombs, and so they're back at it again. You know, the real emergency isn't some lady who walked here with her child from Guatemala. The emergency is North Korea's nuclear weapons. The Russians interfering with our elections again in 2020. And, you know, is our president a criminal? I mean, Nixon's people broke into the Democratic headquarters. Trump's people broke into the Democratic email system.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, you know, Nixon called it a witch hunt. That's what Trump calls it. We've been here before. It's just the same thing all over again, but a lot uglier.
Yeah, this is a much more extensive I keep looking and people keep saying that they're impatient about the length of time that this investigation has taken, but Watergate took a couple of years as well, and that was just, I mean, that was kind of like local. Well, this is an international, this is spread all over the place. There are Russian concerns and all kinds of banking concerns and all kinds of stuff. This is one of the most complex investigations that I've ever seen. And so I don't think that it's, reasonable to complain at this point that it's only been a couple of years, and especially when you consider the fact that the investigation so far has produced a number of guilty pleas, convictions, and indictments, and, you know, so it isn't as though it has been fruitless, and, you know, I am to point out the Benghazi, the Benghazi troop.
Oh God!
You know, now that went a long time and didn't produce anything.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know what else, sir? You know, this an innocent man doesn't walk around saying witch hunt, no collusion, no collusion, witch hunt. Every third word out of this feller's mouth is him claiming that they're all out to get him.
Yeah.
Rod Rosenstein, lifetime Republican, appointed by Donald Trump. Robert Mueller, lifetime Republican, war hero in Vietnam.
Yeah.
He's not an angry Democrat.
Yeah.
You got to wake up and stop being rude. Don't let Donald Trump con you like he conned all them other people.
All right. That's a statement. That's a statement to close on, Bob. Thanks a lot for bringing it into the session this afternoon, and we'll talk again, sir.
You take care, John.
You betcha. Anna Maria, we're not going to get a chance to talk with you this afternoon because the clock has wound down, and it's just not fair to open up a conversation with you when we only have about 20 or 30 seconds left. So I'm going to invite you to call back another time, and we will be eager to talk with you. In the meantime, please stay with us after the session this afternoon. After Adam and I are off the air for the All Souls edition, of It's the Music. They're going to take you through the afternoon in the All Souls edition of It's the Music. And, You're not going to want to miss it. You're not going to want to miss it. And they are going to deliver you right into the middle of the traffic jam that's going to take you home this afternoon, because you know you can't go a block in Tampa without being in a traffic jam between 4 and 6 in the afternoon. So stay with us from 2 to 4 for It's the Music, and from 4 to 6 for the traffic jam, and then just hang out for the rest of the afternoon. And keep in mind, while you do,
has to start somewhere.
Thanks, Adam. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.